More than 78 million voters already have cast their ballots this election. That's according to the University of Florida Election Lab. So how's the race looking so far, and how long will it take before we know the results? Joining me now to discuss how the count could unfold after the polls close tomorrow is University of Cincinnati Associate Professor of Political Science, David Niven. Welcome back, David.
It's my pleasure, Lucy.
UC is a financial supporter of Cincinnati Public Radio. So, David, as I mentioned, more than 78 million people already have voted this election. What, if anything, do you make of the early voting patterns you're seeing this year?
Well, I suppose in the category of good news for Democrats is relatively strong early voting across the board, relatively strong early voting in key battleground states. Does suggest some enthusiasm for this election and that they got past what appeared to be the single biggest threat to Democrats earlier in the summer when President Biden was still running, which was that lack of enthusiasm for this campaign, lack of enthusiasm for their ticket, you know, really could dampen turnout and dampen their chances. On the Republican side, I think one thing we're clearly seeing, we see this in Ohio very specifically, is a greater embrace of early voting. So some of the sort of Republican rhetoric about, you know, kind of questioning and demonizing early voting has gone to the wayside a little bit. And there's been a little bit more, you know, both organized effort and just at an individual level, embrace of it. And that's good news for Republicans, just simply because anybody who casts that early vote, that's a vote in the bank and nothing can get in the way, you know, no work problem, no traffic problem, no long line problem can get in the way of those votes come election day.
I saw an analysis about new voters this election cycle. These are people who didn't vote in 2020. And I saw that this analysis said new voters included large numbers of Democratic women in Pennsylvania and Republican men in Arizona. How big an impact do you think these new voters could have this election?
Well, I agree that that is a significant part of the story, because one of the things that characterizes the Trump era of politics has been the activation of some folks who simply were outside of politics. And that is both for Republicans and against them. He activates people to vote for him. He activates people to vote against him. And, you know, it's as a starting point, it's hard to read the tea leaves of early votes, because obviously the vast majority of those early voters are folks who were going to vote and they simply chose to vote this way instead of on election day. But to get to the heart of your question, those new folks, now we've got something to add to the mix. We have some tangible sign of something. And I've seen some very strong numbers for Democrats, not just in Pennsylvania, but in Georgia, with respect to new voters, new women voters coming out and voting. And that's certainly what, you know, Democrats are seizing on as a sign of hope in the early voting numbers.
Tomorrow's election day, of course. What do you think we can expect to see in terms of how the count unfolds? You think this one could take a long time?
Well, it comes down to two really key things. How close are individual states? And obviously we saw last go round how close a state like Georgia could be. And then does the Electoral College math come down to those states? I mean, that's kind of the double whammy. If a state is close and a state matters in the electoral count, then the whole nation stops and waits for what happens in that state. So those are things, obviously, beyond our control, beyond our knowledge today. Here's what I can tell you, however. If Pennsylvania should be super close, if Wisconsin should be super close, or if Arizona should be super close, those are really the three that could drag this out the longest. And that is largely a result of state law. Pennsylvania and Wisconsin, unlike, for example, Ohio, if you voted absentee in Pennsylvania, you filled out the form, you signed your ballot, you know, envelope, and you turned it in, they don't open that until election day. So in Ohio, you vote absentee by mail, they receive that at your board of elections, they check the signature, they check that it's good, and it's ready to be counted come election day. Pennsylvania and Wisconsin, they receive that exact same packet of information, they let it sit till election day, and then they have to scrutinize each and every one of those ballots to see that the signature and the address and everything is good on it. So that just inherently delays the process. So if either of those two states is close, that is, you know, you're up all night and you're really not going to know what's happening until Wednesday morning. Arizona, add to that mix, they are, relatively speaking, allow late arriving absentee ballots. And so the thing that slows folks in the counting of Arizona is those absentee ballots that physically arrive on election day, that arrive by mail on election day, they are not going to be counted till after election day. So if Arizona is close, that's where you start talking about it could be days, it could be 10 days before you know the actual winner if the bottom line number is close.
We've been focused on the presidential race, but I want to ask you about local races. Will we know the results for local and state races Tuesday night? I know that a lot of elections officials are expecting really big turnout numbers. I don't know how that could impact how long it'll take to know about our local and state races.
Generally speaking, you know, this will be the appetizer for the main course of the presidential outcome. Generally speaking, you'll know these results. You know, certainly the U.S. Senate race in Ohio could be close, but it would have to be extraordinarily close for it not to be decided either election night or in the first moments of Wednesday morning. You know, so that would mean if it's in, you know, within 0.5%, the two candidates are within 0.5% of each other. So say 50.2 to 49.8, some kind of number like that. Then you could get down to the last arriving absentees and provisional ballots. Anything beyond that, we should have an outcome. Again, Ohio is opening those absentee ballots as they arrive. They don't count them, but they open them so that they know this is a good ballot and it can be counted very efficiently on election day. So that's why in Ohio, you actually get those absentee results first. You get those before election day returns because they're all processed and ready to go.
Well, let's go back to the presidential race. I've also heard observers talk about the gender gap in this election and how wide that gap could be. What do you think? How have you been watching that?
It's probably set up to be, a record gender gap, certainly among subgroups. So among white voters, among non-college educated white voters, you know, there are some specific subgroups where women are vastly, vastly more likely to vote for the Democratic candidate than men. Men vastly more likely to vote Republican. And, you know, that's why, you know, part of the reading of the tea leaves and looking at, you know, what's the early vote rate among men? What's the early vote rate among women? I mean, it's been the case. It's now we're in multi-decades of a gender gap where men have gone more Republican than women. But it's getting exacerbated. Certainly the aftermath of Roe versus Wade, you know, has opened opportunities. And you have some states, you know, we just this weekend saw some numbers suggesting Iowa was a lot closer than one would expect. And that's entirely, you know, based on a response of women, especially in states where their reproductive rights are limited by state law.
Well, okay, you were talking about the tea leaves. What are you seeing in the tea leaves? Any predictions as to how long it could take before we know the winner in the presidential race? I mean, could this be a repeat of 2020 where it took days and days?
Well, it could be a repeat of 2000 when it
took
weeks.
Oh, don't say that, David.
it really comes down to, is this going to come down to one state? You know, is this going to come down to the state that's the closest? You know, that opens the door for this being a days and days and days situation. Now, certainly in 2020, it wasn't called by the networks for several days, but by Wednesday, the direction of things was pretty clear. And so I don't want to dodge your question, but it really does come down to is if this thing hinges on Pennsylvania, which it could, then, you know, if Pennsylvania's a matter of a few thousand votes, it cannot be finished on Tuesday or Wednesday or Thursday or Friday, because there will just be outstanding provisional ballots that you don't know if they're going to be counted or not. You don't know whether they're legal yet or not, and outstanding absentees that aren't resolved yet. So, you know, if I had to guess, I don't think it's going to be a massive, massive wait, but I certainly wouldn't expect folks to be able to go to bed election night and know for sure what's happened.
Okay. Well, I've been talking with University of Cincinnati Associate Professor of Political Science, David Niven. Thank you so much for your time today, David.
It's good to be with you, Lucy.
Up next, are social media shadow bans playing a role in this election? This is Cincinnati Edition.